My guest on Takes on the World today is Michael Thurman of the Courage to Resist Organizing Collective. Michael was granted conscientious objector status and given an honorable discharge from the Air Force on June 10, 2008, after an eight-month process in which he was aided by Courage to Resist. He enlisted in the Air Force as a junior in high school in 2005, but as early as basic training and as military tech school trainee, he began developing strong concerns around the war in Iraq and all war in general. Michael realized that even though he was not going to be directly responsible for any combat missions, he would still be indirectly aiding the war effort, and he began to develop qualms around the role he would play in that war. I'm going to let Michael finish that story, and then we'll get on to that of Bradley Manning. Welcome, Michael Thurman, to Takes on the World.
Yeah, thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you. I'm glad I met you here at the Vets for Peace regional conference. Why don't you pick up your story from where I left off?
Well, that was it in a nutshell. You know, I joined the Air Force right out of high school. I had an interest in aviation, and that field really drew me, so I joined up, and I joined the delayed entry program, and that was kind of a way for the military to get kids while they're young and before they're 18, or if they still need to graduate high school or what have you. Basically, just like get your foot through the door and provide the pathway for you to go later. So that's what I did. And when I was a senior in high school, I enlisted when I was a junior in the delayed entry program. When I was a senior in high school, I began to make new friends, and I started questioning some things, and I got some new perspectives, politically especially, and started thinking politically and was starting to become critical of different things like the war and government. But by the time I was graduated and the time I was supposed to go to basic training, I was still ready to go. So I ended up going. But, you know, from the first day of basic training, I started questioning everything that was happening, everything I was being taught. And then throughout my tech school, I just started developing an opposition to it all, and by the time I was operational, I had done a complete 180, and one day I went to my supervisor, and I was just like, you know, I can't do this anymore. If there's any way to get out, I'd like to know how. And that's when he told me about conscientious objection, and I applied for conscientious objection, and 8 months later, after a long process, I was out of the Air Force.
And Courage to Resist, which you were a member of, helped you at the time. What is Courage to Resist?
So, yeah, Courage to Resist is an organization that helps GI resistors in the military and conscious objectors, people who are AWOL, people who are have deserted, who are in other countries, just Canada, Germany, Mexico, people who resist the military anyway. We provide them with it's legal, material, financial, moral support, and we also provide a medium for them to tell their stories so they can get their stories across and also inspire other people to do the same in furtherance of, you know, ending the war and kind of pulling the rug out from underneath the military-industrial complex. Courage to Resist helped me through my conscious objector process, and as soon as I got out, I started doing some work with them, and now I work with them pretty much full time.
And now you mentioned being recruited in high school. I'm aware of some other cases like that as well, but how widespread is that?
Well, it's pretty widespread. You know, the recruiters like to prey on high school kids who are naive or don't know much about military service and appeal to their you know, appeal to their interests or appeal to their excitement. And, yeah, that's probably for enlisted one of the largest kind of age groups or demographics they pull recruits from. You know, I had an interest in airplanes and aviation, and that's basically what the recruiter kind of appealed to when I was recruited out of high school.
What do they offer you? I mean, what do they offer students as inducements to sign up before they graduate?
Well, like I said, it just kind of gets your foot through the door, and you start to learn kind of what the military is all about. You start to do physical training, and then it kind of gives you time to think about what your options are and what you want your job to be, and then through a kind of a longer enlistment process, they can kind of convince you to maybe sign up for 6 years instead of four, which I did because they get paid more, and then then they get to pitch all the benefits, money for college.
That's a good benefit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's move on to the story of the day. After I had spoken with you and arranged for you to be on the air, Bradley Manning's testimony at his court-martial evidently was surreptitiously recorded and reproduced. Yesterday, Democracy Now! Carried the transmission and the transcript of it, and the LA Times has it today. I guess you've had a chance to hear or read his testimony. What does it tell you about him?
Well, I think the largest thing it kind of shows is what kind of person he is and his motivation. Basically, he's a whistleblower by every sense of the word. And his motivations were honorable and selfless. And he saw atrocities and wrongdoings and injustice, and he felt like he needed to show that to the world. I think that's the largest thing that this kind of testimony shows.
One of the most interesting parts of that testimony is in which he described the video in which the U.S. helicopter pilots were having a great time killing Reuters cameramen and people on the ground, including children. And he said, I'm just going to quote from the transcript, I would have played it, but the sound quality is not that good. Manning said, the most alarming aspect of the video to me, however, was the seemingly delightful bloodlust the area weapons team they appeared to have. They dehumanized the individuals they were engaging and seemed not to value human life by referring to them as, quote, dead bastards, unquote, and congratulating each other on the ability to kill them in large numbers. And he says, at one point in the video, there's an individual on the ground attempting to crawl to safety. The individual seriously wounded, instead of calling for medical attention to the location, one of the aerial's weapons team crew members verbally asked for the wounded person to pick up a weapon so he can have a reason to engage. For me, said Manning, this seems similar to a child torturing ants with a magnifying glass. We don't know the reaction of the court to that testimony, but I imagine it reads very powerfully, and it shows that despite how many months was Bradley in solitary?
Bradley was in solitary for almost 10 months.
It hasn't dampened his spirit. This is, as you read or listened to this, as I said, what else comes to your mind? Obviously, he's a determined hero. I mean, he seems ready to accept what he did and not deny it. What do you think his prospects are at this point? And how much support can you say he's getting among people in the active duty military as opposed to, let's say, former servicemen?
Right. So Bradley's testimony was part of a guilty plea deal, or not a deal, I'm sorry. This is no deal here. Basically, the prosecution is still going to pursue him to the fullest extent, and he's in a position where he, you know, there's no real deals that can be made. But this was a guilty plea. It was a naked plea. That means there's no deal. So he pled guilty to counts except for the worst ones, which were aiding the enemy and the espionage charges. So the charges he pleaded guilty to can carry a maximum of 20 years in total. You know, our best outcome, we think, is, you know, well, our best outcome is that the charges will be dismissed and he'll go free. But I think we might be looking at maybe 5 to 10 years if he gets convicted on those charges and not given the maximum, and has been awarded time served. But the prosecution is still wanting to charge him and prosecute him on aiding the enemy and espionage, but he has pled not guilty to those. The second part of your question with people in the military, it's been mixed from what I've heard. Obviously, you know, people who have written in or commented online are outspoken people of the military, and there's a lot of people in the military, a lot more than you think, who do support people like Bradley Manning or whistleblowing, or are opposed to what the military is and does, but they're kind of stuck in it, and it's kind of their job, and they don't really have any options in getting out and what have you. And, you know, obviously there are, you know, some diehard kind of close-minded people who, you know, think Bradley Manning is a traitor and should be, executed.
Now, there's no chance of that, however, is there? I mean, he could possibly get a life imprisonment, I understand.
Well, the prosecution has stated that they're not pursuing the death penalty at this point. But they are seeking life in prison. So they are intent on putting Bradley away for the rest of his life.
Now, how much of a Courage to Resist is one of the organizations? How much of a support campaign does Bradley Manning have?
Yeah, it was a huge one. The Courage to Resist, as soon as this case came up, we spearheaded the Bradley Manning Support Network and the Bradley Manning Defense Fund, and we've raised a lot of money and pretty much paid for most of his legal expense up to this point. There's people all over the world who've donated to the Defense Fund. There's people all over the world who've held rallies in different cities. We've had demonstrations like the one on the 23rd, where there was 70 different locations all around the world, all over Europe, Asia, Africa, and Afghanistan. There was recently a demonstration by the Solidarity Party of Afghanistan, and they held banners and had a really powerful show of support for Bradley Manning. And I think the banner in Kabul read, "Bradley Manning, you are a hero to suffering Afghans." So Bradley does have a lot of support. And if you go to our photo petition website, iam.bradleymanning.org, you could see all the photo petitions of people who have taken a picture with the sign that says "We are I am Bradley Manning," and it's quite a diverse, widespread, you know, amount of people who, yeah, basically support Bradley, and it puts a human face on the campaign, and it kind of shows and is inspiring.
Well, I know
Bradley Manning support. So
during the election campaign, there was very little pressure, It seemed to me, on President Obama or the Congress to do anything. Things have stepped up since. Is there any support, visible support, from the part of members of Congress for Bradley Manning? Has it, you know, if you know, has it been discussed, his case been discussed on the floor of Congress?
From my knowledge, I have not heard any discussion from a congressional floor. I know that there are Congress members who are aware of this case and have spoken out, like Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich.
Of course, neither of them are in Congress anymore.
Right, yeah. Right. So there are others. They just don't come to mind at this time, or I can't think of any. But yeah, that's one thing that we're still trying to do is bring this issue to light to Congress and Senate. But yeah, unfortunately, the government is pretending like this isn't happening, and they're refusing to acknowledge it, and it's very secretive, and it's just kind of censored the whole case. So, but that's why it's important to kind of spread the word and build awareness and let your friends and family know what's going on with this case, and it's just quite an injustice. I like what Dan Choi said about this trial. He said it's not just Bradley Manning on trial, it's the United States of America that's on trial here. So we all need to be doing all we can to support Bradley Manning, because it's not just about Bradley Manning. It's about the future of our country. It's about the future of whistleblowing. It's about the future of accountable and transparent government.
It's interesting. We had a president who came, who ran for office, promising that he would have more transparency than ever, and certainly the Bush administration was not transparent. But it seems that President Obama and his Justice Department or Injustice Department is more harsh on whistleblowers and people who leak important information the public needs to know than any previous president before him. Were you expecting more from Obama than we got?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say in the beginning. I personally didn't vote for Obama, but, he ran on this platform of hope and change and, you know, transparency, and he vowed to protect whistleblowers and civil liberties, and you know what we got was just quite the opposite since he's been elected. He's already declared Bradley Manning guilty before his trial. Last year, he spoke at a fundraising. I think it was actually 2011. He spoke at a fundraising benefit, and he got questioned about Bradley Manning, and he basically declared his guilt, which, as a commander-in-chief, constitutes undue command influence, because in a military trial, you can't have that kind of bias through the chain of command, and he basically was not too smart in saying that, especially as a constitutional law professor. We haven't really seen any hopeful change or transparency or accountability from the Obama administration, and what we've seen is quite the opposite. So
now,
a lot of people were expecting something more than that, but we really haven't gotten that, and what we have is a loss of civil liberties and freedoms since he's been elected, unfortunately.
Now, there's an organization that's still around called MoveOn.org, and they were very active in getting President Obama elected and reelected. Do you know if they have made any statement on Bradley Manning's behalf?
You know, I'm just not sure about that.
I'm saying that sarcastically because I'm on their mailing list, and I haven't seen anything, but something might have slipped by, but it's as if
we have organizations like Move On who are aware of this issue, but still haven't taken a public, stance on it. But I'm just not sure about MoveOn.org. I know a lot of groups were very outspoken when Bradley Manning was in solitary confinement and was essentially being tortured in an unjust pretrial situation. And there was a lot of large organizations like Vaz.org that set up a petition that got over, you know, 500,000 signatures. So there was a lot of support for Bradley, or a lot of support to get him out of that terrible situation when he was in it from lots of different organizations. In another case, to just flat out release him on, you know, the basis that he's a whistleblower and a hero and deserves to be freed and honored for giving us this information. We still haven't heard from very large organizations to come out and say that. But hopefully that'll change soon with his new testimony, because it shows, you know, the nature of Bradley and the nature of the release of these documents. And you know, I think it's going to go down in history as a, one of the biggest, you know, leaks and exposure of the truth of our time. So hopefully there's going to be more support and more organizations backing this campaign and demanding the release of Bradley Manning.
My guest is Michael Thurman, Courage to Resist. We're talking about the Bradley Manning case. What about the ACLU? Have they come on board?
The ACLU was definitely, like I said, outspoken when Bradley Manning was in his unjust and unlawful pretrial confinement, being punished before, you know, his trial. But I'm not sure if they've come out and said publicly that he should be freed outright. But, I mean, it's another organization we are working with, and we do have allies in. And, yeah, once again, I'm just not sure about the ACLU at this point, but they're definitely aware, and there's definitely elements that do support Bradley Manning.
What about Amnesty International?
That same case with them. There are, like you said, they're overall, they haven't come out with a public stance. Amnesty is a huge organization, and there's a lot of channels for things like this to go through, but hopefully they're all talking about it, and with this new testimony, and they will eventually come out and take a stance for Bradley publicly and call for his release. So
we have a caller on the line. Hello, you're on Takes on the World. Hello, you're on Takes on the World.
Yeah, hi. I have a suggestion, and it's a good discussion. The only thing really that is able to motivate the administration for significant change, particularly something to do the justice necessary for Bradley Manning and withdraw these incredibly cruel charges, would be to threaten the Democratic Party with loss of political power. And one of the ways that I would suggest that the organizations might look into this is the ability to urge people through various organizations to not vote for any member in 2014 of the Democratic Party of the House of Representatives. I mean, there's a real opportunity, I think, for the Democrats to reclaim the Congress potentially in the House, and to retain the Senate is much more likely. So if people said that, you know, certain issues go beyond and that we cannot settle, you know, the lesser of two evils where the evil is so great in the world, such as, you know, the continuation of the wars, the various policies that we're seeing. So I just like to present that is what can motivate the powers that be, particularly in the Obama administration, to begin to make the changes necessary if they see that they will lose economic and political power. So if your guest has any comments on that, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for that call. And Michael, what do you think of that?
Well, it's hard for me to comment on kind of the strategy like that. People need to kind of take their own, take these issues up on their own. But, that might work. We need to be doing all we can to put pressure on those who are supposedly representing us. It's just hard for me to say, like, we should or should not do that.
I guess it would probably apply in different between localities. There is something in the House that's called, I'll use quotes around it, double quotes, the Progressive Caucus. And if something like that could take a position, it would be a remarkable step forward from an organization that Mark, not Progressive Caucus, but Congress itself, Mark Twain described in 1907 as probably the only native criminal class in America. It was Congress, and unfortunately, they proved Twain right more often than not. But I would suppose if people did around the country bring pressure and make known to their local congressperson that it's not the kind of issue that someone might lose so many votes on. Courage to Resist does have materials for people to get to support Bradley Manning. You have stickers. We actually had a rally in front of the Ukiah Courthouse for Bradley Manning on the eve of the Vets for Peace on March 1st and the Vets for Peace regional conference up here. And there were a number of people beeping their horns as they went by. What do you think the prospects are for broadening the campaign among the average folks, Michael? And how do they get in touch with Courage to Resist or the Bradley Manning campaign to get materials that they can use in their workplace or take to their politicians and so on?
I think just spreading awareness, talking to your friends and family and your coworkers and whatnot, and doing everything you can to get the story out there. Obviously, holding small rallies or vigils, and having signs and visual things put up places will definitely, have Bradley's name put out there, and people will start to wonder who that is, and hopefully look them up if they don't know already. And just showing that Bradley has support is a great thing to put out there, because people will then know that he does have support, maybe thinking about why that is, and then perhaps beginning to support him themselves. If you just go to our website, bradleymanning.org, or courageresist.org, but bradleymanning.org has all the Bradley Manning materials, and you can just order them there. We have organizer kits if you want to do something in your locale, which would be great. And then we have just materials, stickers, posters, signs, banner flags, what have you. It's all on the website. So just visit bradleymanning.org, and you can contact us there, too. Just shoot us an email, or you could write to us either way. But all our contact information is on the website. And once again, that's bradleymanning.org, and you can get materials there as well.
Oh, well, that's a good, very good idea. Who are Bradley Manning's lawyers? Are they military and public? Is it a mixture? Who are defending him in court?
So Bradley Manning, at the beginning of the campaign, we promised him that we would raise the funds for any attorney of his choosing, and he chose an attorney named David Coombs, who is ex-military himself. He was a very good lawyer and has taken many other cases in the past. So
So that's his main lawyer, David Coombs, and he has a website too that I can't remember the exact name of right now, but no, it's COOMBS. And yeah, he's a very good lawyer, and he has a whole legal team working, you know, day in and day out to try and, you know, navigate this case and the military law around it. I think he also has, I'm not exactly sure on this, but there are military JAG defense lawyers that also work with that legal team and kind of are there for Bradley's defense, but are not the main lawyers. But don't quote me on that because I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, his main lawyer and defense team is through David Coombs.
Well, Mike, we've come down to the end of the hour. I want to thank you very much for being our guest and bringing us an update on the case and getting your own views as a former Air Force conscientious objector. And we'll be keeping tabs on Bradley Manning, and hopefully with the release of his testimony, it will be an impetus to expand the movement in his behalf. So anyway, thanks so much for being our guest today, Michael Thurman with Courage to Resist. Take care, Michael, and good luck to you and to Bradley Manning.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and free Bradley Manning.
Take care. Bye-bye.